Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
Ah, summer. Don't you love it? At its best, of course, summer offers a change of pace, an opportunity to step away from your typical, from your usual rhythm, some breaks from work, from school, some of us from church. At the very least, an opportunity to step out of the monotony that is our quotidian existence and to just do something different. Maybe you've felt it this summer. Of course, there are those among us for whom summer is their busiest month. And others, of course, who didn't feel much change at all. And yet, even for those persons among us, I would imagine that there's still something at least a little different about summer. If nothing else, it's the weather, right? At least around these parts, we Rochesterians in summer finally get to experience that giant light in the sky, that mass of incandescent gas, the nuclear furnace that for most of the year we don't get to see. 9 months out of the year, we may be miserable. But then summer arrives. Why do we live in this part of the world? Ah, yes, summer. We love summer. I've never lived someplace that loves summer as much as Rochester, New York. There is just something renewing about the sun coming out and we find our way again. But truth be told, even if the weather didn't change, and to be fair, that is part of the reason why we take some breaks during this time, because it's so nice outside. But even if the weather stayed the same all year long, heaven forbid, we know we would still need to find a way to program into our lives a little bit of a shift, wouldn't we? Some time to just step away. Our bodies, our souls, our spirit needs that, and summer affords the opportunity. At its best, it is, in a way, a gift of grace. Though just like those other gifts of grace we are offered, sometimes it is hard to accept. It's hard, especially in this American society that doesn't really value time off, does it? We who ground so much of our identities in what we do, in what we're able to accomplish, in the amount of product that we're able to have at the end of the day, the thing that we're able to point to and tell everyone, this is how I spent my day, this is how I can prove my worth. We struggle to really embrace the idea of time to step away, of time for reflection and rest and repose. And so if we do manage to take some time away, we end up feeling a little guilty. That is, if we have the privilege of stepping away, which not everyone does. One of my best friends, after having grown up in the United States, lives with his family in the UK. And as he was visiting this summer, I asked him what he liked most about living abroad, and without hesitation, he said the way of life. He said because in his experience, at least, the UK is a place where it doesn't matter what level your position is, everybody is expected to take some time off, some vacation, or as he put it, holiday, UK. Not just because we recognize that we are more than our work, but because we're better when we do. Though truth be told, we should know that. Especially as a people of faith, shouldn't we? We have it built in from the very foundation of our faith that each of us needs some moments away. And for us, it's not seasonal, but weekly. That is, we all need some time to step out of our quotidian rhythm, to step away from that which we find usual, to kind of understand who we are. It's there from the very beginning, like quite literally from the very beginning. We call it Sabbath. The very first story in our Bible, the first creation myth. You remember that one. It's a God creating the world in 7 days. You remember what happens? People are created on the sixth day, and then they are asked to rest on the seventh. Do you hear? People are created on the sixth day, and then asked to rest on the seventh alongside God. Not because of what they have done, because remember, they hadn't done anything. And yet they were asked to pause, not to reflect on what they had done, but what God was doing. The gift of a moment away is perspective. It gives us a chance to see what's happening in our lives and in the lives of people around us, to take stock of where we are and where we're going, who we are and who God is calling us to be, which, if we're honest, is the very reason why we don't always like to take that pause. It's much easier to just keep our head down. We don't always want to know where we are or to acknowledge where we are or to acknowledge what's going on in our lives. We just think, okay, just keep going. And for some of us, that's what we need to survive. There are moments in life when we need that to survive. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Just keep our head down. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. We can't do that forever. And as some of us have learned the hard way, if we never take time to really assess where we are, we can quickly find ourselves lost. If we never take time to face what we're facing in our lives, in our community, in our world, well, it's hard to make it better. Just ignoring our troubles don't make them go away. And make no mistake, friends, there are troubles right now we are facing that need to go away. Maybe the first step is the hardest, most courageous, which is pausing. Our scripture lesson for today tells the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It's one of the very few stories that is in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which typically means there's something in this story worth paying attention to, even if it's not what we typically think of. Now, typically when we hear this story, we jump straight to the fish and the loaves. But there's value in pausing before the meal, as there so often is. This, of course, is the story that Matthew tells. And Matthew does something different with the feeding of the 5,000 than any of the other Gospels, because Matthew ties the feeding of the 5,000 men and an untold number of women and children to the story that comes just before it. You'd be forgiven if you didn't hear it, though it was beautifully read. You'd be forgiven if you didn't hear it, because it's not there. That is, just the very beginning of the passage begins like this. When Jesus heard this, he left that place in a boat. He went away from them in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When Jesus heard this, he left that place. He went in a boat to a deserted place by himself. What we don't know from just the reading of the scripture today is what Jesus heard. Most of the time in life, that's the way it is. We never know what's going on in somebody else's life. Only in this case, we can just flip the page back one and understand a little bit about what was happening. See, right before this passage, Jesus has just learned that his cousin, the man who baptized him, his friend had been killed, beheaded. John the Baptist was dead. And while he could have just kept going, it's hard to argue that Jesus didn't have important things to do. It affected him enough that he needed to stop what he was doing right there, get in a boat, and find his way to some place where he could process what was going on in his life. He needed to get to some place where he could really think through what was happening, some place where he needed some repose. Maybe some of you have been in that situation before, received that phone call and not known what to do. Maybe you've made that phone call. And we all process things a little differently. Jesus, in this moment, needed some time to himself. See, Matthew was writing to a group of people about 50 years after this happened, maybe more than that. In other words, this wasn't a firsthand account. And yet he found a need to include this particular piece of the story, and we should pay attention to it. Yes, Matthew's gospel, as it does throughout all, is trying to connect Jesus to his Jewish roots. We hear it even in the story of the 5,000 as it connects to Elijah and Elisha from 1 Kings and 2 Kings, respectively. We can go back and pay attention to those. But in this particular moment in the story, he's trying to connect Jesus to the situation that the people to whom he was writing were finding themselves. See, these Jewish people had just watched their temple destroyed in 70 AD. They just watched Jerusalem sacked and undoubtedly had seen more death and destruction of people they loved than they wanted to deal with. But Matthew was saying to them, look, if Jesus needed some time to process these things, what makes us think we don't? Look, friends, I don't know what you're facing this morning. Maybe this is the best day of your life. Maybe you are at the highest of highs and there is no place to go from here but down. But that's not all of us. And I don't know what's going on in your life. I can't just flip the page back and read what's in advance. But I do know this, you don't have to face it alone. That's why we're here. And if you need some time to just take a pause, to step back, to really process what's going on, well, good news is you're in good company. Jesus needed that too. But reading the story, we also see what so many of us face every time we try to do that. Did you hear that part of the story? Jesus goes, he couldn't have made it clearer that he wanted to be on his own. He literally gets in a boat and goes to a deserted place. And yet, the story says that when the people heard it, it's unclear what the it is, but we assume when they heard about John the Baptist, they all left their towns and villages and they went to stand on the shore right where Jesus was. Can you picture that? Thousands of people lining up along the shore while Jesus is trying to find some time to himself. It's like the young mother who just wants to take a shower. It's like any of us who've tried to go away and have that device that is tethered to our side keep reminding us of how full our inbox is, of how many people need us, of how many people want something from us. Those voicemails that say, did you get my email? All of the things that pop up in that time. And we get it from the crowd's perspective too. We know that feeling when we're faced with something that's so hard to deal with, we don't quite know what to do, and so we find the people that we love to share it with, to try and figure it out. That's why we're here, isn't it? That's what a church is in some capacity, not a group of perfect people, but a group of people who recognize that we're more perfect together than we are apart. We're here so that we can share in that pain and that grief and that understanding and try and find our way through it. Maybe the hope of this passage is not just, maybe the lesson is not just to figure out when to step away, but also to figure out when to come together and perhaps to plan for dinner when we do. As the story goes, we don't know how long Jesus is out in that deserted place by himself. We don't know. We just know that eventually he finds his way back to the shore And when he does, he has compassion on the people who are there. He heals their sick. Maybe he has more compassion because he took that time away. Maybe some of us recognize that feeling. But in that day of sharing in their grief, of sharing in their pain, they start to grow a little hungry. And somehow, like that miraculous summer feast some of us have experienced, when there's no plan and yet somehow it works. Somehow everybody eats something. They figure it out. The disciples, of course, want to send everybody home back to their villages to go to their towns. We don't have enough to eat. Are you kidding me? If you teach a man to fish, Jesus. But Jesus says, no, we can make our way here. And he blesses the 5 loaves that they have and the 2 fish. And somehow, in the sharing of their grief, of their pain, of their food, there's enough, more than enough. All who wanted had something to eat. Maybe we can too. Maybe the call for us as Christian disciples is to go out and care for the people around us, to share what we have.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.